Well, you may be asking yourself, how are things going this year at Tanglewood? Well, there have been amazing performances, there were some amazing crowds, and the weather has been all in all pretty nice.
Yeah, to find out more than surface details, we should ask the guy who runs the place, and that would be our good friend and sometimes verbal adversary, Mark Volpe.
Well, hello, verbal adversary. How are you?
I've been called many things, but that's
It's very nice to have you here. Mark is the managing director of the BSO, and it's a pleasure to welcome him. We talked to him on the opening day, or just the day before the opening day, so now we can actually get kind of a state of Tanglewood report.
It's been a terrific summer on our 76th anniversary, and this week in particular, we have Lang Lang tomorrow night, one of the great artists of our time, and of course, the incomparable Yo-Yo Ma on Sunday. And so it's a big weekend, not to mention Friday's concert, which you're going to talk to Stefan Deneuve in a while. And I think you're talking to Charlie, too.
One
I don't think we're allowed to say Charlie. I got into a lot of trouble because I don't know that
Charlie was the problem.
I mistakenly said something about Charlie Detroit. And I think
it wasn't Charlie. I don't mean to break it to you, but anyway, and I'll tell you something. I mean, you've had a lot of interesting, compelling guests on your show, but he might be the only one that's been in every country in the world. I mean, I mean, it's avocational in many respects. He's certainly professionally traveled the globe, but he's been in South America, Sub-Saharan Africa, parts of Asia. He's been there. And
have Baton will travel.
Right,
a paladin. I want to ask you a question. He's the head of a major orchestra and all the rest. I don't get this stuff. How can you be the head of the orchestra and then be, you know, everywhere else at the same time? I mean, is the head of the orchestra really the head of the orchestra, or is it just sort of a title? And you're the secret in charge or not so secret in charge?
I don't know how to respond to that. Let me, what changed the world, you know, in the 30s, you know, conductors could basically stay in one place, and then you had the war, and virtually all activity of any interest. You know, Marshall hadn't rebuilt Europe or played a significant role in that, and MacArthur in Japan, and so everything was concentrated here. And then they invented this thing called the 747.
Oh yeah, that.
And then all of a sudden, economies did come back in Europe, did come back in Asia, and now the emerging part of the world, and so all of a sudden, there are five continents where Western art music is certainly one of the cultural choices people have. And so these major conductors and their elite status, and certainly Maestro Dutoit is in that category, have all sorts of opportunities and options that they've had that they didn't have, you know, in prior generations. That being said, in terms of shaping the artistic direction, certainly shaping the season, and not just the concerts they conduct, but guest conductors certainly helping organize the projects, the themes, the recordings, the tours. Artistic directors play an absolutely imperative, critical role in that. Now, are they involved in the endowment? You know, are they involved? Certainly involved in fundraising. Are they involved in the day-to-day, you know, operational dimensions of the financial dealings of a major orchestra? Of course not. I mean, you don't want them.
You're,
I mean, if they're involved, that's not a good thing, actually, and many levels, not to denigrate my wonderful colleagues in the artistic realm.
Well, now, Alex Beam, a columnist for the Globe, I guess, wrote a column called Curse of the Maestro. Has the Bambino traveled from Fenway Park to the BSO? And what he is saying in this column is, everybody gets, you know, Levine, you know, had a back problem, this, that. Our current maestro has fell down and had a concussion. Is there a curse?
No. I mean, the reality is what Jimmy, you know, experienced was chronic. He had a whole series, and God knows you've suffered through back issues, and he had it probably, you know, both in the lumbar and cervical areas, and so that was critical. That was a slow, or maybe not so slow, deterioration of a chronic condition. You know, what we have with Andres Nelson's is an incredibly vital, visceral 34-year-old with enormous energy who unfortunately, running to a rehearsal, forgot to turn on the light, ran into something pretty solid, either a door or a wall. You know, we now, I mean, part of our courtesy, of course, and whenever we have conductors staying in hotels, we put...
Turn on the lights.
Well, turn on the lights. We put you know, flowers. We could give them a little fruit, and then a hockey helmet. So
if want of a better word, do they ever bitch about their accommodations? I mean, you put them, these are the world's most world famous people. They stay in the greatest hotels in the world. Do you ever have them, do they ever get into a Motel 6 and call you up and say, I'm not going to do this?
There are occasions, not with Andres, he's incredibly flexible, but there's a famous soprano.
Not flexible enough to miss the door,
who called me to her hotel.
Uh-oh!
And it wasn't what you think. Get that out of your mind. But it was
how did you think that was in his mind?
I could tell. I looked in his eyes. I didn't want to go there. Candidly speaking, and she's notorious, I'll tell one other story, didn't like the color of the towels.
Oh, yeah. The old color of the towels.
And this was a pretty expensive property, and we went through what colors were acceptable. Whatnot. She's the same one who frankly, in the back of a limousine, called her manager, who called the limo company to call the driver to tell the driver to turn down the temperature in the car. So there's a few people that are notoriously difficult, and yet somehow their artistry is of such interest that we continue to engage them, probably sometimes against our better interests in terms of sanity and a few other matters. But we have a terrific artistic staff that anticipates that we know these people, we know their idiosyncrasies, we know their preferences, and try to accommodate as much as possible.
But, yeah. So I just want to get back to Andres Nelson for a moment. So he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's going to probably conduct a little bit in Bayreuth. The Wagner family has persuaded him to get back in the game, and he's had a few weeks off. He's been sending, I got two emails yesterday that he's basically programmed through the year 2028. You know, that's the trouble. When these conductors actually have idle time, it's very dangerous because they start planning.
They're sitting on the couch for a while. Yeah, they get sitting, to be quite
yeah
through 28.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm teasing, but no, you know, they watch a little soccer on television, and then whatever, and they
off they go
off they go, and you get these emails that are and it's he's obviously, somewhat fluent in English, but you can see there's a certain Latvian influence in some of the spelling, and then a certain Russian influence. I mean, it's not the Cyrillic alphabet per se, but so it's a lot of fun to just read through them and sort through it. And
so when you get one of these superstars, they come here,
right?
How much you have to pay them?
It's so interesting because I was with Yo-Yo
Ma. What everybody wants to know,
Yo-Yo Ma last night at a gathering, and the first question he asked is, "What do you think Alan Chartok makes?" I don't know. You guys are so interested in what you. I'm not going to tell you. That's the 36th time you've asked me that question. And I'm sure there'll be a 37th and 38th and 39th.
I just can't resist.
I know.
But it's got to be a lot. Okay, let me ask you a question. Wait one second, okay?
All right.
Just wink. Just wink if I'm close, okay?
No.
$100,000.
You can Google it, right?
You can?
Yes.
You can Google to find out how much Yo-Yo gets at a performance.
You can get the ballpark.
Well,
go do it.
No. You're not going to be able to get
that. No, wait.
That being said, there is a market out there. This is still
it's
a market economy,
yep.
And people who sell tickets tend to get higher fees. I mean, it's a strange correlation, but somehow it seems to work that way for the most part. The other thing I would say there, what I think Joe is referencing. And is there are tax forms that all not-for-profits have to file. I'm sure AMC has a 990
on
file. And,
sure.
And I'm
top five employees.
Yeah, your top five employees. I'm assuming you're there, Alan, but your top five employees, it's a matter of public record for any not-for-profit. It's disclosed, annually in our tax reporting. And one of the things I would say is all these artists coming in are not employees; they're independent contractors.
Right, so they don't get on the.
Well, there's another category: top five independent contractors. So,
is that right?
Yeah. Obviously, you're before you're signing them, you're reading those forms very carefully, Alan. So that's been there for a while too.
Was Andres on your insurance yet?
Pardon? No.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
No. Yeah.
No. And a bump in the head, is there? There are other more serious medical matters that we're covering through our insurance policies.
Yeah, the doorknob did it.
Yeah. No. We don't do doorknob jokes in this.
No, of course. Certainly not. So, you said something before. I just want to follow up on a second. So if you get Yo-Yo here, we're going to hear from
him hopefully
today.
He's here because he's scheduled to perform.
No, you'll hear him today. But if you get a Yo-Yo here, there will be a huge extra group of people who come to buy tickets, right?
Yeah, well, the shed's already sold out, and Lawn where have quite a few people, and I would encourage people to get their tickets early because it'll be at least 10,000 people on the campus. And certainly there's an open rehearsal on Saturday for those who can't make it Sunday on Yo-Yo's playing Dvorak, one of the great pieces, a piece he plays as well as anybody in the universe. So,
well, I'll take Dvorak over Wagner any day.
Wagner never wrote a real cello concerto, so you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I don't think Yo-Yo's going to be playing a lot of Wagner.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Are we ready to move on?
I'm ready. I don't know about you guys.
I am very much ready to move on.
The way this works is you ask the questions, I get the answers.
how this was all falling out. When you think of the rest of the season, you still have, we have 3 weeks? But there you go. We have this incredible weekend, which we're going to be talking about a lot this morning, and then Tanglewood on Parade, which is always a huge event.
Oh, it's one of the great, and again, that's going to be a huge crowd. The weather's going to be great on Tuesday, and we culminate that always with a big performance of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture and, of course, a fireworks show. Kind of strikes me. This shows you the power of the Boston Pops, because 1812 has become one of the anthems of the United States. It played every July 4th.
Absolutely, yeah.
It played here at Tanglewood and Parade, our holiday here on campus. And you think about it, it's really a piece about you know, a certain Russian general overcoming Napoleon. You know, so it's the Russians against the Napoleon and his French army, and somehow we've adapted, and that's the power of Arthur Fiedler. And that wasn't the case 70 years ago. That was something that Arthur Fiedler, by constantly programming it on July 4th with several hundred thousand people alive and another few million on, and so that is very much part of our experience. The other things that I think I would flag for your listenership that I think are very much populist and very interesting. John Williams comes with a film night, and he's sharing it with the conductor David Newman, who's involved in the Pixar projects, and so that's the first time John's sharing it. And again, Audra McDonald, who is, I think, one of the great jazz singers. We have another great jazz singer, Esperanza Spalding, singing on Sunday as well. So that we have a Michael Feinstein pop show with Keith coming up. We have Beethoven 9. We have all Beethoven programs. So there's a lot left in the season. And last weekend, we just booked Harry Connick Jr., and that's selling gangbusters. And Patty Austin comes the next day on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend to perform with the Pops. And so there's a lot left. We're basically halfway through the season.
You seem tired. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just,
you've been working really hard.
Last week was interesting. I mean, we look forward to uneventful weeks, and once in a while we get surprised. But I'm fine.
Yeah, I worry about you because you're such a good friend.
Well,
you always
feeling is mutual.
You remember my birthday.
I do. I always give gifts before I get interviewed, especially if especially with you.
It helps.
Yeah, it does. Well, there's cash in the envelope too, by the way, but don't know.
Mark Volpe is the managing director of the BSO, and I, because I am a nice man, I'm going to let him go.
Thank you.
You can find all things Tanglewood at tanglewood.org. Mark, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for hosting us this season for a beautiful time that we've had here.
You have a nice backyard here.
You are the best.
Not bad. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable live from Tanglewood on WAMC.